Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
Hello and welcome to the Point Forward podcast. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, joined in studio. Look at that beautiful man. It's Jim Ozarski sitting right across from me. And next door on your video screen, if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel YouTube location. You may be just listening to us on the Point Forward podcast in the normal feed. That's awesome. Good times. We've got a lot to discuss. The Milwaukee Bucks are heading into the playoffs. They're facing the Indiana Pacers, a team that they love, have great relationship with. It's been a great year hanging out with the Indiana Pacers, although it's been a while. The teams haven't met now since the beginning of January, so a little bit has changed for them, for the Bucks, which we will talk about. But obviously, the first thing top of mind is that the Milwaukee Bucks closed the season in a bit of a tailspin, and part of that was because Giannis Antetokounmpo got injured. The calf injury kept him out the last four games of the season. We've heard national reports that the Bucks are preparing to be without him. You have reported, of course, that the Bucks are preparing to be without him, at least for game one, as they sort of see where things are with this calf injury. Now, the good news is they have another Hall of Fame player in Damian Lillard who should theoretically be able to handle a first-round playoff series. The bad news is we just saw the Damian Lillard-led Bucks down the stretch, and it was not pretty, including this game in Orlando to close the season that had a lot of playoff positioning on the line. The Bucks did not win. They fall to the 3 seed. Again, we'll talk about that in a little bit and the matchup. But what is the latest that you know of on Giannis? When do you think these decisions will be finalized? I got to be honest, I'm still kind of in a phase of I've seen this before where everyone thought Giannis wasn't going to play and then he played. So, like, I'm a little bit in believe it when I see it mode, even though it's feeling like game one is not going to happen. So give me the whole lay of the land on the calf watch that we are underneath here.
Yeah, so, JR, I mean, he was injured April 9th, left soleus strain, which go figure Damian Lillard suffered that a year ago. So he had someone in that locker room to be able to sort of walk us through that, and he just said it really hurts. And look, Giannis told me once, JR, it was after he hurt his wrist. Mm-hmm. And then, remember, he came back and then went right out. He caught a knee or something against Miami, left the game. And he told me, you know, after he was back from all that stuff, that he's like, when do you ever see me leave a game? And he's like, that if I can't finish, that, I mean, that's pain. Mm-hmm. Like, true, you know. So I say that to sort of lead into, yes, he's Wolverine, and he does heal at rates that most people don't.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty severe calf strain. He's right-handed. It's his left leg. He jumps off his left leg. He loads. That spin move is, I mean, not that you don't use all of your body, but like, or overcompensate one way or other, JR, but it's just, it's an explosive muscle for an explosive athlete. Mm-hmm. And so the Bucks, I mean, game one, I think, was always out of the question.
Interesting.
My understanding, okay. JR, was it was always game two was the maybe start of his series. And even that was just, that's sort of the thought. That'll be just over 2 weeks. Game two, I mean, if there's a benefit for the Bucks, it's that this first series is always stretched out.
Yes, yes.
Over multiple weeks if it goes
it's
seven
a
games.
A 2 week thing minimum.
Yeah. So, people have jobs to do, and I'm not knocking that, but I think this week plus JR, like all of this is going to be hedgy preparing. Maybes, we don't know, because it's A, it's soft tissue, B, it's Giannis, so you don't really know the healing process, and C, like the Bucks just don't tell anybody. So you're going to get a little bit because the broadcast partners, frankly, need to know. They pay that money to know for their broadcasts. But my understanding was always they were looking at the start of game two as maybe when this gets going for Giannis. But again, you know, it's always going to be hedgy. I do think game one is out. Look, we record this, and then in 5 days we'll be practicing.
Course.
But I, you know, for the Bucks, I think that they do have to sort of get ready to win games without him. And then if, you know, you mentioned Damian Lillard, I mean, JR, that's why the guy's here.
For sure. And I mean, that has to soften the blow a little bit. Like you said, Giannis is, if he doesn't play, it's because he is in dramatic pain and he just simply can't do it. You know, there's no way they could have done it. But they have Damian Lillard, and Damian Lillard has led teams into the playoffs before, has led the Portland Trailblazers into series wins before. He's the guy with that famous buzzer beater, everybody piled on top of him. You know, this is honestly a great opportunity for him. And I don't know, we could talk about whether we think the alphas matched up over the course of the year now that we have the full season, but this is a chance for him to be that guy again and potentially get the Bucks in position to win the series, if not outright win the series. I guess, though, I've watched the end of the season and I am worried that that's not available. Like, it's just, he was really bad in Orlando. Everybody was bad in Orlando, but that was a game that they had to have. They did not get it. You know, I know you insist there's no, like, moving around, dodging certain opponents, but, like, if they weren't dodging an opponent in that game, then it is a big red flag. They obviously didn't win in Oklahoma City. That's an outlier. Nobody played. I guess the big question is, do you think they can beat the Indiana Pacers without Giannis? And the sub-question to that is, do you expect we're going to see Damian Lillard at a level that maybe we haven't seen all that much this season? We've seen flashes of it, but for the most part, it's been a little bit of a struggle. I don't know if I've seen a guy who you're confident can win against anybody in the first round of a playoff series necessarily.
Yeah, well, real quick for Dame, and this is not great news. I mean, he's dealing with muscle soreness of his own and the adductor issue, like, and he's been dealing with that since the Boston game. So the game Giannis was injured, Dame had, it was listed as hip soreness. It was amended to an adductor, which, you know, he had lower abdominal surgery a year ago or 2 years ago, JR. Now he's recovered from that, but he's had an oblique earlier this year. He has had right adductor this year. Like, his core area is a concern. Mm. And he played in Orlando. They did want to win that game. He admitted that he felt that during the game, and when I asked him afterward, he said about the week off, he's like, I'm not going to be perfect. But he's like, nobody is. And so that's, to me, like, okay. he already knew, even after a week off and not off, but what practice and rehab, he's going to still feel whatever that is. So that aside, which is a big deal, but let's put that aside. This is why he's here, JR, to me. Giannis has not been healthy in a playoff series since the first Eastern Conference Finals run.
Yeah,
2018-19 was a long time ago. Yeah. He's been injured in every playoff since then. And it's not a surprise that the longest he was healthy was the year they won the title. He was hurt in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes.
And at that point, Chris Middleton was, you know, playing at an extremely high level. The Bucks were a better team than the Hawks, and Chris got it done, right? The last 2 years, we know what happened with those guys injured. And so Dame is here, JR, not that you trade for a guy like that because you expect an injury, but the Bucks have been injured. And this is a different team if you were looking at Chris and Drew, right?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
And so that's a long way for me to get to. Yes, I do think they can beat the Pacers. If there is a cure for bad offense, it is the Indiana Pacers. They're a better defensive team since Pascal Siakam was acquired.
Mm.
They are still a bad defensive team.
They're one of the five worst in the NBA, at most charitable.
And while, look, Giannis is the fast guy on the Bucks. Make no mistake. Like, the Bucks are still not going to want to run with the Pacers just because Giannis is out. Like, Giannis is the one who runs. But this means Dame is running the show. Dame is the point guard of the Bucks. He is the scorer of the Bucks. We have seen it a little. Giannis only missed, up until this Cavs, Giannis had only missed 3 games. And Dame was the one who had missed, I think, 7 or 8. We haven't really seen this version, in my opinion. Like, they all played together against Orlando, and they beat the Magic.
Yeah, right, in Milwaukee.
At home, yep. Right, to sort of set this up. And then, yeah, they were out against Oklahoma City, and he did play after a few days off against the Magic, and the Magic were in – look, the Bucks tried to win, but you could tell where the line of that ended.
That's fair.
You know, in the third quarter. So, yeah, I do think they can win because I still have to go with that he's Damian Lillard. And he's still the best player on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrese is amazing and has been. But, you know, this is the Pacers' first go-round with all of this.
Sure.
And so now your last question was, will we see it? That I don't know.
Well, right.
That's the wild card here, JR, is I know what Chris can do. I know what Bobby and Brooke and Pat Connaughton can do. I don't know what Dame's going to look like in this playoff. And that was even with Giannis. And so, but on one hand, it's if you're wondering what Damian Lillard looks like I feel like of all the questions you could have, that's the one you would think wouldn't make you feel the worst. Because we've seen him win playoff games and be amazing in playoff series on teams that were not as good as this. So, there's a lot in there.
Yeah.
JR, there's a lot. But, I mean, we'll see, obviously, beginning game one. But it's, you know, it's time for him. For however, whether it's one game, two games, three games, whatever it may be. I mean, it's his, you know, let's go back to October. Giannis, it's Dame's team. It is Dame's team right now. And we need to see him be that guy until, you know, the big fella gets back.
Yeah, the Bucks, I think a little bit rides on game one. Because if you win that game, theoretically, the Bucks could push Giannis's return off a little bit longer. You know, maybe you don't have him come back in game two, which is still a Pfizer for him. But if you go down the first game, there's going to be a rush, right? Like, it's going to be concerning. And maybe you can justify, well, they still got to beat you four times, but then you're going to have to win multiple games on the road in Indiana. This has been a better team at home this year, as you've said, than in past years where things have been a little more even. So, and I want to go back to, yes, Damian Lillard is the best player on the floor. But Team USA has Tyrese Haliburton on their roster and not Damian Lillard. So I don't know if everybody would necessarily feel that way. Can you just briefly, like, what gives you that confidence that he is still, and this is a silly comparison, this has nothing to do with whether they win a playoff series, but are we sure he's the best player on the floor in this series?
Yeah. I don't know the selection process for Team USA. Damian
just
Lillard
an example,
was in the pool for that, and he, with all that's going on in his personal life, was not keen on going to Paris.
Sure.
He has a gold medal already. He's done that thing. Not saying they wouldn't have picked Tyrese anyway. But if you look at that roster, I think if Damian Lillard wanted to go, he might be there. That's just me.
Okay.
I don't know. Steve Kerr and Grant Hill would probably never say such a thing because the team is picked and it is what it is. And Oshkosh's own is in the Olympics. Like, that's an amazing thing. Tyrese has been amazing. Last year was his breakout year.
Yeah.
This year he is.
It is a tale of two seasons for him this year. He was great in the first half, and it has tailed off a little bit. He's got injuries.
Yeah,
he
quite famously, you know, suffered a pretty severe hamstring, so severe to the point that, you know, he did sort of play through it to get to 65 games, to maybe make an All-NBA team, to maybe make more money on a Supermax. He sort of became, along with Joel Embiid, a poster child for the 65-game rule, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, I was doing a combo show, JR, with our colleague Dustin DePyrak over at the Indy Star.
Yeah, trying to get him on the pod. And we got to do a cross-pollinated preview with the Indy Star.
Yeah, and, you know, Tyrese has struggled a little bit with the more physical officiating, the back half. You know, he's a guy who feels he should be getting calls now as a two-time All-Star, as a max player. Damian Lillard is going to the free throw line. Damian Lillard has the blue jacket, top 75, and yes, he's 33. Tyrese is their career arcs are crossing. Right? Dame is on the decline.
Sure.
Tyrese is on the incline. While Dame's shot hasn't fallen this year, JR, for whatever reason, watching him every day, no one can stay in front of him. He gets to the free throw line. And if you were to ask me, like, of the two to win the game, I'm picking the guy the Bucks have to make the shot.
Sure. All right. That's fair enough.
That's what I have to go. I've seen it too long. Look, this may be the cross. This may be the intersection of the line graph. We will see.
Yeah.
But as of now, I have to go with the guy that I've seen every day and that, you know, again, is really still difficult to defend.
Again, I feel like game one is going to be April 21st is going to be such an inflection point because you know Lillard will have a big scoring game because their defense just allows that to happen. Look at the numbers Giannis put up against Indiana this year, which is another reason why you, I guess, feel badly about the loss. Like Giannis eats against the Indiana Pacers defense.
Yeah, I think if the big fella was able to play a whole series,
he might average 40.
Yeah, if not more.
Yeah.
And, you know, Indiana might get a game at home because Gainbridge will be crazy. I'm sure they'll bring Caitlin Clark out. It'll be wild.
What a scene.
You know, it'll be wild down there. So you sort of got to give them their respect in that way. But yeah, if Giannis was playing, it would be a different conversation for sure.
But game one, let's say Lillard goes off for 45 points. They win the game. Oh, it was all overblown. Damian Lillard is back. He's going to lead this team. They'll recover. Giannis will get healthy. And if they lose, Damian Lillard trade is one of the worst in Wisconsin sports history, and the Bucks are on their way out.
We are in that space.
April 21st at Pfizer Forum, such a crucial moment. Let's talk a little more about the Pacers in general. We talked about Halliburton. Again, not a team that defends. They don't have anybody who can stop Giannis. But the Bucks players are going to find their way to the goal. They're gonna score. But pace is an issue. This is an old team. The Bucks are. They don't like you kind of mentioned here. They don't want to run up and down with this team.
No.
And I could see that over the course of a 7-game series. Like now we're talking. If this goes 6-7 games, now we're talking about a serious cumulative effect, although this series is spread out over a couple weeks. So it's not like the every other day schedule you might get later in the playoffs. The easy way to frame it is just like, what happens for Indiana to win this series? What do they have to do? And how great of a chance do you give them, especially considering the Bucks do have these injury things hanging over them?
Yeah, look, I'm not going to discount a 4-1 record against the Bucks
for
this
sure.
Season.
Yeah. All before Doc Rivers.
Yes, January 3rd was the last time they played. This was four of Adrian Griffin's 13 losses were to the Pacers.
That's crazy.
And
that's stat.
Look, JR, it's fitting in a way that Doc gets the Pacers first because it's sort of a referendum on the coaching
100%,
change.
100%.
And the reason I say that is the Pacers didn't get Griff fired, but they were – an illustration of the issues. No transition defense. None.
No.
No discipline in half-court defense. Confusion.
Yeah, the confusion.
Not knowing what they were doing or why.
Getting frustrated about that, kind of letting that seep afterward. It started to come out a little bit.
And so, yeah, and like the Pacers games, the Pacers are going to try to get under the skin. You know, Isaiah Jackson, Aaron Nesmith are going to go at Bobby.
Even Miles Turner.
Right? Bobby and that was teed up, right? We know, obviously Giannis got pretty emotional after the 64 game, over what they felt was a lack of respect and then also
we'll
game ball stuff.
That.
But that goes back to the in-season tournament where Halliburton does the Dame time and Dame says after the game, hey, that's cool, but when it's the other foot, let's see. And that was the issue because then when the Bucks put it on him, they felt the Pacers walked off and didn't respect that, right? So there's a lot here in that way. Now, to your question of, the Pacers can make this a series because it's not a great matchup. The Pacers want to run. They want to make the Bucks get out and run. And the way the Bucks can prevent that is running disciplined offense. Like, look, we talk about Dame. It would not be good if Damian Lillard comes up the court, pulls up from 33 feet, and shoots and misses, and now Obi Toppin gets the rebound and fires it out to Siakam or Halliburton, and they're just running off one-shot misses or sort of ISO baskets. Look, the Bucks, JR, Doc finally said it after Orlando. He's like, we're a bad isolation team. And that's with three guys who you would think should be really good at isolation basketball.
Yeah. There's a whole meme about Chris Middleton isolating guys.
Yeah, and so now, granted, Chris's metrics in that are really good, but the Pacers would love that If Damon Chris just decided to go one-on-one, because that means they're going to get out and running and that Bucks defense is not set and Bobby is cross-matched on Tyrese, and that's just not – like, that's bad. So, yeah, the Pacers can win the series. That's how the Pacers win the series. I think the Bucks want to play to their strength, which is literally their strength, their size. Tyrese is very good. He's still just 180 pounds. Like, Chris and even Pat Bev could probably move him a little bit, right? Siakam, actually, JR, probably helps the Bucks.
Interesting.
Because Buddy Hield is no longer filling the corners as one of the best three-point shooters in the history of basketball.
I don't think we think about that when we talk about Buddy Hield.
Right.
But.
Not that you're not having to rotate, but Obi Toppin doesn't shoot threes. Siakam kind of shoots threes. I mean, Miles Turner shoots threes, but like Siakam is more of the. I mean, he likes to dribble a little bit. Like, he's more in the post, in the mid range, and that is
works for the Bucks.
Works for the Bucks. So yes, I'm not going to sit here and say the Bucks pound the table will win the series. There is a way for Indiana to do that. I do think though a lot of that is Chris and Dame playing good offense with the team, which allows the defense to set, and especially because Miles Turner is going to bring Brook out. Miles has hit enough threes where Brook's going to have to respect that. I'm curious to see what Doc does, if Bobby is the one on Miles, and we'll see, right? And that's the other part. Like, Doc Rivers has a week to prepare. Mm-hmm. We have seen Doc bench guys, sub guys, change up schemes and rotation, things we didn't see before January 23rd.
Yes.
So that's another sort of unknown about this, JR, is really not that the Pacers, again, got him fired, but this is all started. Doc was in Vegas, right? And, oh, when did they start talking? And, I mean, I guess it is just sort of fitting that they are playing them in this way, in, at least in terms of the head coach.
Yeah. Definitely a storyline. I'm going to actually have Lori Nicol on. We're going to talk a little bit more about Doc Rivers in an upcoming episode that will still drop this week as we prepare for the first round series. I want to go back briefly then to the regular season finale. You mentioned having that week to prepare. I do think this is a better situation than if they had had the two seed. And it isn't because I'm afraid of the Sixers and the Heat, though I am, as a Rube basketball fan. I'm afraid of those teams. Miami, there's track record. I don't care what happened in 2021. I've seen all the other years. And Philadelphia with a renewed sense of purpose with Joel Embiid back. You know, I don't know. I'm not terribly. I don't think either matchup is a disaster, but, you know, it wasn't supposed to be last year either. Having this week and having the chance to really zoom in on Indiana is interesting. I also want to ask about, so last year at this time, nobody thought the Heat were going to beat the Bucks. The Heat were, they just hadn't clicked. And then they get into the postseason and as has been customary, they find a way to succeed. I'm trying to sort of remember what the stumbling blocks were for Milwaukee. What was so wrong then that they can avoid doing this time? So I guess I'm thinking, I'm trying to remember what it was that caused them to lose to an 8 seed and how they would prevent that from happening again if they are prepared to let that not happen again. Can you kind of connect those dots for me?
Well, there's one similarity, which is not good, which is Giannis is hurt.
Yes.
I mean, if Kevin Love doesn't take out Giannis in the first game, I still don't think we're even talking about this. Mm. But he
a lot
did.
Of history changes there.
You know, but he did. He took out Giannis. Giannis missed the rest of game one, almost all of game one, deflates the team.
Heat were missing guys. Giannis, they were missing Tyler Hero, too. I know.
And Tyler had been gone for a month plus in that scenario.
Yes.
Right? Or was that game one that he was hurt?
No.
He also was hurt in game
one.
Oh,
no, you're right. He broke his hand in game one. And then he didn't come back
until
the
finals. I
think
he had missed other time. But regardless, Tyler Hero for
was
Giannis
not the
was
game
not
breaker
the
there, of course.
Giannis obviously came back, as we know, but was, dehydrated and ran out of gas in games four and five, right, despite a great effort. So that's the unfortunate similarity.
Yeah.
Is Giannis is hurt again. But, no, I mean, look, part of that was, you know, they let Mike Budenholzer didn't do much on Jimmy. It was still Drew. Giannis factored into that. Giannis was not available to defend Jimmy Butler, even though, you know, after game five, he said he wanted to, but I don't really know if he could have with his injury. Chris had one leg and needed surgery. Chris tried, but Chris could not defend. I guess that's the difference. Chris is healthy. And I understand, you know, it was a frustrating year and some really, really freakish injuries the back half of the season for him, JR. But Chris is healthy. Has he lost a step? Yeah. But he is healthy. And that's a big deal. He can at least move around, unlike last year. You know, again, why was the coaching change made? You know, Mike Budenholzer, for some reason, forgot to call timeout in game five, you know?
Oh gosh, I forgot about that.
The team just sort of, like, had this weird glitch where they kind of thought there should be a timeout, and then Grayson Allen ends up with the, you know, Giannis almost throws it out of bounds. Chris has to save it, and now Grayson Allen is trying to win. Like, that was such a wild end.
Yeah.
And
it's I'm just so sort sorry of, I brought this up
it,
for everyone
It just
listening.
Sort of accentuated why Mike Budenholzer was fired.
Yes, for sure.
And now, granted, Adrian Griffin has been fired. But let's go to Doc Rivers. And, yeah, like, the memes are going to start. Doc's history is going to start. But, look, Doc Rivers, to use Pat Connaughton's words, he gets teams to 3-1. He gets teams to 3-2. The players feel that's on the players to close the series. So to your point of they have a week to prepare as opposed to 24 hours or 30 hours, I think that, like, you're paying Doc Rivers $10 million. Like, he brought in three more coaches that he trusts. Like, that, this is what that's for.
Sure.
Can you scheme around the loss of Giannis Antetokounmpo? Like, let's be real. Like, Giannis is a top three player in the world. They are worse without him. 100% they are worse without him. But they have a week to figure it out, and you got to win one game to start. One. Start with one. And that could be gimmicky. That could be different. That could be whatever. Now that's parts on Doc, and that's why he's here. So I would say that would be the difference is that if you had given Bud a week to prepare for the Heat, I don't know if it's any different because you don't know that Giannis gets taken out.
For sure.
Right?
No,
but
right.
At least now Doc doesn't have Giannis or he has to prepare for him to not play. Like, at least there's that advantage if you want to call it that.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to Game Ball Gate. The game in December in which you alluded to it earlier, Giannis was very fired up after the game about the Pacers not shaking hands. It dovetailed into a dispute about who had the game ball in Giannis's franchise record-setting 64-point game at Pfizer Forum. There was a shouting match. There were players running back into the locker room. There were accusations that the ball was still not right. It was drama. It was high drama. I am not going to pretend like I wasn't entertained. I was entertained by all of that. I don't know if the teams were. I think, Jim, I'm gathering. I mean, again, they have not played since January 3rd. I'm gathering they don't spend a lot of time thinking about the Pacers over the course of the season. I'm guessing that the bad blood that we sort of want there to be is probably not really there, not really there. But I do want to go back to that because, you know, your reporting sort of crystallized that it wasn't just about the ball, which I don't know how many people, myself included, I don't know how many people really came to terms with that. And then also, you know, you mentioned that they're going to try to get under player skin. You know, Aaron Nesmith was able to get technicals on Bobby Portis in that game. If you think that that's kind of how Indiana plays, in the, you know, are they like that team? Maybe this is why Pat Beverly is here for a matchup against Indiana. You know, fight fire with fire.
Yeah.
I don't know. Give me a sense on how you feel like these two teams feel about each other.
Yeah, look, man, the Pacers were one of the stories of the first half of the season. You know, they were winning at a high rate. They were playing historic offense. They were, you know, made it a goal to win the in-season tournament. They were barreling toward that. And look, man, they talked that mess. You know, they came in and whooped the Bucks at home, and they whooped them in Indiana, and they let everyone in Milwaukee know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Giannis, Giannis put Tyrese on the floor, like, after a dunk, I think, right? Like, there was a shoulder shove. And then there was, you know, yeah, Bobby and Nesmith going after one another. Well, talking some stuff. Aaron made sure to keep walking toward the other bench. Let's make no mistake there. And then, yeah, like, you know, the Dame time thing and Dame saying, yeah, like, as we said before. So, the Pacers are going to come in here, even if Giannis is playing JR, the Pacers were going to come in here fully expecting to win the series.
Absolutely.
Why wouldn't they? They won four or five already.
Yeah.
They won in Pfizer Forum. So the Pacers have confidence, even though every team in the East backed into the playoffs. Like, yes, the Bucks were terrible, and we're in Milwaukee, and everyone was watching that. Almost everyone outside of Boston backed their way in.
Not the Knicks. They won their last six games to get the two.
Yeah.
I see what you mean, though.
But up until they beat the Bucks, though, they had lost five of six.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they were backsliding also.
That's true.
And then Tibbs did Tibbs stuff. Oh, JR, we got to go get the two. So, you know, so the Knicks, but whatever. The Pacers have that confidence. And I do think if you're them, if you're Tyrese and Nesmith and Jackson, because I think Bobby broke Jackson's nose with an elbow, inadvertent elbow. Yeah, why not remind the Bucks? Why not try to get them going? And think about this, JR. Bobby at home is probably worth another point and a half, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just the way he plays, the crowd.
He has – that's his – what's the home planet of Superman? Why am I drawing a blank? Like, that guy in Pfizer Forum. Yeah, Krypton, but not – yeah, the opposite of Kryptonite. There's something about Pfizer Forum that gives that man his powers. It's the sun.
Yeah, his sun. Yeah, that's the better analogy. And so, look, Bobby's going to get Pfizer Forum in a way. And the Bucks need that to be in a good way. He knows that. You mentioned Pat Bev, and that's the interesting part.
Journey, Pat Bev.
Yeah. Listen and subscribe.
subscribe to the pod.
So, how do I say this? Look, PJ Tucker didn't stop anybody. Kevin Durant did whatever he wanted. The difference was PJ Tucker was able to foul Kevin Durant 6 to 10 times and was called 5 to 6.
Yes.
I think Pat Bev's got the same rep.
As just a messmaker.
And also as a high-level former all-defensive team player.
Okay.
At 35, like he can still – like we've seen him deflect passes and make steals. He's not as big as PJ. You know, he's a backcourt defender. Can he get up in Tyrese and make things difficult? Yes. Will he get away with fouls? Yes. Will Pat Bev be the guy to get in someone's face and get a T or whatever?
Absolutely.
So Bobby doesn't get in that mess? Yes. Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to put you on an island necessarily.
And Pat Bev's going to shoot a three, unlike PJ.
Mm. From the corner only.
And Pat Bev is going to, I mentioned earlier in the pod, JR, like the Bucks need to run good offense to help their defense. I don't know if Pat Bev's going to start against Indiana. Personally, I think they need Malik Beasley to catch fire again and make some threes.
Mm-hmm.
They need to score.
Yeah, he's disappeared a little bit.
He has slumped so bad in the last month and a half, which is unbelievable. But let's say the ball swings around. Pat Bev at least can restart the offense. Okay, Dame is trying to get a pick and roll with Brooke. You know, they blitz him. The ball gets out. They're doing good. Okay, Pat Bev gets it with 16, 14 on the clock. He can restart things. So I guess I'm calling him sort of an X factor to a degree, but I think in the context of this Pacers team, it's probably good that Pat Bev is healthy and ready to go, because I don't know, if they play Boston next or who do they play next?
They play New York.
Yeah, New York. That there's no edge with, the Knicks aren't going to talk a whole lot of trash.
Mm.
Not their game.
No.
But this series, yeah, they could use a little Pat Bev, a little Bobby to give Pfizer form in that, to truly give the Bucks that home court, especially when it's tight or they're down. And you know this. We heard it last year, 2 years ago. When the Bucks fall, like, it gets quiet. It's
tense.
And so those are two guys who can really get that place in a boil, even if the Bucks are down six and Bobby had just hit a three.
Yeah, there's some of the visuals of Bobby Portis interacting with the Pfizer Forum crowd, I think, are going to be the memories I take away from this season, maybe, unless I win a title, of course. But, you know, when Pat Bev and Bobby were, like, on different parts of the court, like, working the crowd, it was just a wild time. Certainly an interesting additive has been Pat Beverly. Let's play out, before we get going, best case, worst case on how this plays out. I'll start with kind of the worst case. If they lose this series, does the offseason change? Is there something that's different? You know, Doc Rivers, I don't think there's any way he's not coach next year, but, like, do they have to go in a different direction? Does Damian Lillard ask out? Like, how big of a deal is this series in the grand scheme of things, do you think?
I mean, yeah, worst case scenario is a first-round loss, even if that means Giannis plays no games or he comes back to play one game or two games and clearly is, you know, rusty from 2.5 weeks or not right. It still would be a loss. And again, that's why they traded for Damian Lillard. Look, JR, at jsonline.com, the day we record this is the 10-year anniversary of Wes Edens and Mark Lazary buying the team from Senator Herb Kohl. And in that story, the Bucks have paid $190 million in luxury taxes in the last handful of years.
Money.
I think fourth most in the league behind Brooklyn, but obviously Brooklyn's is they're that's quickly declining. So going into next year, if the roster was the same, Bucks clearly, you know, we're talking over $220 million, an extra full cap. Doc Rivers is the third coach. Bud's still under contract, so they'll be paying three coaches $22-ish million. They have no draft picks they control till 2031. Yeah, I think if they were to lose in the first round, objectively speaking, ownership can say we have spent, now include the salary cap, we have spent roughly $800 million in players, another $20 million in coaches, and we have 10 to 13 playoff wins.
Well, one title.
No, the last 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right. So, right. Not even like a run to the Eastern Conference
Finals. This is what we're talking
about,
right? Yeah. So in 3 years, that's what it would be. That's worst case scenario you're talking about.
Exactly. Yes.
Two playoff first round exits, and a second round exit. They would have every right to sit back and say, "What are we doing?" And is that John Horst in the front office? I mean, look, John Horst has now been connected to a job in Detroit, a president of basketball operations. I believe that search is continuing. I don't know what that's quite about, but, there aren't that many people left to fire.
That's right.
Let's be honest. And now you mentioned Damian Lillard. It's a great wild card. Look, I'm around Damian every day. I do not get any unhappy to be here vibes. I do not think he's a liar when he has sat as closer than we are right now in this broadcast to tell me on and off the record he is happy with his basketball situation in Milwaukee. And yes, I said basketball situation because his family is still 2,000 miles away. Is that resolved in the summer? I don't know. But we don't know Dame like we know Chris and Giannis, right? And so I don't know how he's going to feel if they lose in the first round. Like, he's here to try to win a championship. He went one and out in Portland. Does he look at it as like, well, Giannis didn't play, and Doc was hired January 29th, and I'm hurt. And, like, I don't know. I have no idea. That's worst-case scenario. That's as much as I like on this pod, JR, I kind of push back on you with, like, talking head stuff or, like, dooming. But, no, that, like, those are facts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, all of that is worth an evaluation. Like, what are you doing if you're not evaluating why a team that is this expensive and this star-laden continues to founder?
Yeah.
Is it just injury? And if that's the case, can you just continue to swallow that? I don't know. I'm not Wes Edens, Jimmy Haslam, and company. Now you go to best case. I always use best case is Dame is Dame. And they win either two or three games before Giannis can potentially return, And the Pacers have nothing for that guy.
No.
And that's a and that's it's curtains. A wrap. Like,
sorry, Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, but that's I mean, curtains. It's a wrap. Like, if Giannis plays, no, it's a wrap. And that look, that's still Kuminga goes seven games. Like, we don't know, as we started this pod, we don't know the full details and scope of a potential return.
Well, and let's assume Giannis does come back. He's not going to be 100%. And no. Then he's not 100%. You know, the more he plays, the less 100% he is in whatever comes next. So it's not ideal to...
Yeah, and I think, and look, this is an interesting dance because it's a soft tissue thing on an explosive athlete, JR. Their goal is to still win a championship. So, but on the other hand, as Giannis said last year with the Heat, we were focused on a championship. They were focused on beating us.
Yes.
And so there is the micro. And Giannis, I'm sure, would say that. Like, if they lose two games at home and he's feeling a certain way, well, Giannis, we need to keep you healthy. And he's like, well, we're not. What difference does it make if I'm ready to go in 2 weeks if we don't get to 2 weeks?
That's right. Yep.
So that's the hard part of all this and the unknown that we'll just have to see play out. But yeah, worst case, there is a worst case. Of course there is. One of the best players in the world is not available. They are a worse team for that. Best case, obviously, is that they get the job done regardless of whenever he may return. And if they're set up against, if the Knicks still somehow like have enough in the tank to get out of the play-in, then they go from there.
Yeah, I mean, that was what I was going to talk about.
I should say.
Were the next matchups on the table, which would be Knicks-Celtics. You have said in the past that you don't really worry too much about the Celtics, and even though they are the clear-cut best team in the East. I guess you could argue the best team in the NBA. I think they have the best odds to win. But you feel like that matchup greatly favors the Bucks.
Yeah.
And the Knicks matchup, I think, favors the Bucks. But I don't know. I don't feel good about either one of them, to be honest. But
no, every team can win. Yeah, yeah.
Sure, sure. But that is... not a bad match. You know, they don't have to go through the Cavs, who granted sputtered badly at the end of the season. I don't know what they are right now. They theoretically won't have to face both of the Heat and the Sixers, which, again, those are play-in teams. So how seriously do you take them? We saw that last year, but also does history repeat there? So I don't think the playoff path is terrible, right?
No.
I mean, it feels okay.
Yeah, and, you know, unfortunately, this is just such a bad caveat, right, if Giannis is healthy. Like, you mentioned the Knicks. Look, yeah, they ended the year on a great winning streak to get the two. They earned that right. Jalen Brunson, if I had the vote this year, would probably be fourth on my ballot as an MVP.
Ballot. Yeah.
You know.
He's great, phenomenal Twitter game, by the way. Like, just elite social media. Follow Jalen Brunson if you don't already. That guy knows what he's doing. I love it.
So I don't – obviously, as we record this, we don't know who they're going to play. They're going to get a series. Whether it's the Heat or the 76ers, they're going to have to work, right? Just like the Bucks are going to have to work. And so we'll see where – if there were – of the two teams, I would say the Knicks would be more likely to run out of gas, even though game one at Madison Square Garden in the second round would be bananas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, the Bucks have not been able to stop Jalen Brunson for 2 years. That includes Jrue Holiday last year. But, again – that's why a coaching change was made. You know, will Doc figure it out? I'm sure people on the East Coast and the West Coast, I'm sure you're listening, will say, Jim, you're crazy. Doc Rivers doesn't figure anything out. You know, we'll see. But, yeah, I would agree. The fact that they got the three, they don't have to deal with Boston to a conference final if that's the case. But, yeah, they've got to take care of business without Giannis for a little bit here, JR. And, again, Damian Lillard, Blue Jacket, top 75. Let's see it.
That's right. He's going to have the ball in his hands. The power will be in his court here as the Milwaukee Bucks take on the Indiana Pacers. Game one at Pfizer Forum Sunday night. That's all we know. We don't have a schedule as we record this. We don't know exactly when game two is. I would guess it's probably Wednesday. You know, these things get pretty spread out. Maybe Tuesday, I suppose, but... it's more likely like Wednesday, Thursday even. So you can expect a protracted first series. We do not know when Giannis will be back. That is, of course, the big topic going into it. Jim, any last thoughts do you have before we move on?
No, I mean, obviously everyone will be on Giannis' watch. You know, again, I think just sort of temper expectations on that. But head over to jsonline.com. JR, we've got, you know, starting with, we mentioned Doc Rivers, this team has a lot to prove. Eden's 10 years. What a 10-year change.
Yeah.
Since then. Look, you're talking about championship expectations on this pod for the last hour.
For the last 6 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite a remarkable turnaround. Mm-hmm. Wes Eden sat with me. He doesn't do a whole lot of interviews at all. Adam Silver, Giannis, Chris, John Horst, some of the few people who have been here that whole time. Talk about that. Please check that out. We've got actually interesting. You mentioned you teased the upcoming pod with Lori Nickel. We'll have more on Doc. He had some what Pat Connaughton called a dangerous conversation with his team in February 22nd coming out of the break. But that actually created buy-in on this team. So we've got three reasons why the Bucks will and won't win. We've got some good stuff. So along with the daily coverage at jshotline.com, please like and subscribe.
Absolutely. He will be there. Follow Jim Ozarski on Threads, by the way. If you are into Threads, Jim Ozarski is active there and all the other social media platforms, but especially at jsonline.com. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Point Forward Podcast. Again, stay tuned. We'll have a little more for you over the course of this week here as we get you set for that first game in at Pfizer Forum. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward Podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and jsonline.com production.